Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "Only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And, sorry about the wording there, and he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Did you know this is the only miracle that Jesus performed that is in each of the 4 Gospels? Did you know that? By some miracle, I've never preached on it before, which is amazing. I've somehow missed it all these years. It's the only miracle that's there, that Jesus did. The resurrection is also there, of course, but turn to what Jesus did. Now, children, can you think of a time when God fed his people, the children of Israel? Can you think of a time when God fed them? You didn't say anything, sorry. Anyone? Someone older? Oh, where are we? Yuri.
When they went through the desert.
And what did he feed them with?
Manna.
You remember? They come out of Egypt. They're on their way to that land flowing with milk and honey. But in between, they're in the wilderness. And God, they were hungry, and God fed them. If you remember, they woke up one morning, and there was this dew on the ground. And when that evaporated, there was a flaky substance. And the people said to Moses, "What is this?" Because they'd never seen it before. And Moses said, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." So that happened in the Old Testament, but now we come to the New Testament, and we read that the people were in a remote place. They were hungry. They hadn't had anything to eat. What does Jesus do? He does exactly what God the Father did in the Old Testament. What we see God doing in the Old Testament, we see Jesus Christ doing in the New Testament. And you can pick many miracles and see that parallel. So the first thing that I want to say from what that reading we've had is it says who Jesus is. It's a statement about his own deity, his divinity, that he is God amongst us in human flesh. So that's the first thing. It's also a very large crowd of people. Was it the feeding of the 5,000? No. It said 5,000 men, besides women and children. So how many people do you think perhaps could have been there? 20,000? 10,000? Well, I'm going to go for what I regard to be a conservative estimate of 10,000 people, okay? 10,000 people is a lot of people. And our youth here know that because when we went to Soul Survivor, in the Big Top each day, there were about 10,000 people. So we all know what that number looks like. And in fact, we had a bit of a food event for 10,000 people there. Because on the last night, they had a food theme. You had to come dressed as a piece of food, yeah? So no shouting out from the young people, okay? But I came like this. What was I? Thai food. We good? My daughter Tia had a version of this strapped to her chest. What was she?
Seafood.
Yeah, very good. Now, Wilfred. Wilfred had a full-length red chili costume, which was very amusing. But what was even more amusing is there was a big youth group there who'd all gone as bananas. And they also had a full-length costume, not dissimilar to Wilfred's, but theirs was yellow and his was red because he was a chili. And this youth group were obviously very pleased with themselves. So they wanted to be seen. So they were doing the conga up and down the aisles. just before the service started, and Wilfred decided he'd get in the middle of them. So he squeezed himself in, so he got a bunch of bananas with a red chili in the middle. As he was going round, there was a man from Africa, African man, and he said to Wilfred, he said, "You're not a banana." To which Wilfred said, "Don't judge me by the colour of my skin." Brilliant. It's brilliant. So good. And the African man, he said, "I like that." He said, "I like that." It's great. Anyway, the point of all that was to say that our young people at least know what 10,000 people looks like. And it would take an absolute miracle of multiplication to feed 10,000 people. But that's exactly what Jesus does. In fact, we see the generosity of Jesus here, because he doesn't just feed them a little bit. It says that after they'd eaten, they were all satisfied. Not only were they satisfied, but there was something left over. There were how many basketfuls? 12. There was more food at the end than there was at the beginning, which is amazing, isn't it? And this just reminds us of the generosity of God. Of course, this was a miracle that Jesus performed. Generally, our food doesn't come to us in a miraculous form in that way. But God has given us this physical world, which is incredibly fruitful, isn't it? Has anyone got an apple tree in their garden? Yes. And does it produce a lot of apples? Yeah. We have an apple tree in the man's garden. It's been there many years. It doesn't produce 15 or 20 apples. I wish it did, because that'd be just right for the freezer box. But it produces, I've been counting them this year. It's very sad, but I have. And we are over 500 apples at the moment. And it's a real joy to be picking them up from July to the end of October. But you see, God doesn't give us an apple tree to feed a family. He gives us an apple tree that can feed a small city. And that is the fruitfulness that God has gifted to this creation. And he gifted these things to us. Said, "This is yours to eat." So we celebrate the generosity of God. And there are two particular things I want us to remember. The first one is thankfulness. I hope we're thankful to God this morning. I hope we're thankful to God. Breeze and I went to Asda yesterday with Tia. We bought a load of food. Our food does not come from Asda's. You know, even the processed food, which we didn't buy, doesn't come from Asda's. They mix it up, but it's made by God. It comes from God. He is the source of all our food. He is our daily bread, okay? So we live with thankfulness, but we also live with trust. God said, "I'm your heavenly Father. I know what you need, and I will provide for what you need." And you know, God provides for us because he loves us. He also provides because, if I can put it this way, his honor is at stake. God wants people to look at how God provides for us and says, "He is a good father." So God's honor is at stake, and he is determined to look after us well and to provide for us well. But there is a bread that's far more important than that physical bread. Jesus said in John 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." Jesus knew that feeding people, 5,000 people with bread, was an amazing miracle. But do you know what? The next day they would have probably been hungry again. It was a very temporary, short-lived miracle. But Jesus was teaching them something profound about himself, that he is the bread of life. And he calls us to receive food with thanksgiving, but to receive him and to recognize our spiritual appetite, our spiritual hunger, which we all have, can be met in him. He can satisfy. He just doesn't give us a bit of himself, so it's enough. He gives us plenty, so that we are satisfied. So let's just reflect on that. God is good. He's given us food, but he's also given us Jesus, the living bread, to nourish our souls. Before we have our closing song, we're just going to have a time now where some of you may want to move around the building a bit. Let me just get the right page here. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes, and during this time, if you want, you could come to the front and you could memorize this verse. There are some harvest confessions scattered around that you'll find on the walls. You could take some time and read one of those confessions and just reflect on your lifestyle, how you live, and how well we are living as stewards of this creation. Over in the corner there, behind the sound desk, we have two trees, and there are leaves, and you can write on those leaves prayers of thanks on one side for God's goodness and provision, and on the other side, you can write prayers for the world, for the tree for the healing of the nations, okay? So that's over there. And through there, there's lots of lovely sheets from the feeding of the 5,000, so if children or even some of the adults want to color in, you can over there. If you want to stay seated, we're going to play a video to you. It's right now, this is my favorite Christian song, and I think it will be for quite a long time. Some of you will know it's called So Will I by Hillsongs, and it's a great song that takes us through the God of creation all the way through to the God of salvation. So if you want, you can just sit here and be ministered to by this song. But if you want to move around, please do that, and we'll take a few minutes. Thanks, Andy.